Good morning.
Happy Father's Day to all of you for the third time. I know you've heard that, but it's great. You know, you think Pastor Micah and Pastor Aaron have an easy job. I mean, they're busy throughout the week and working hard trying to prepare for the youth ministry, for the children's ministry, for the feeding of the flock here. Until you get challenged to stand up here and bring a message to the church, you really can't appreciate what all is involved in doing that. And children, you may go to children's church. I see people leaving now. I was hoping it wasn't me that was causing them to exit. But anyway, it's an awesome responsibility. And back in March, Pastor Aaron texted me and asked if I would take the message for June 16th. And that's all I knew was June 16th. I didn't know at the time it was going to be Father's Day. But when I got to my calendar, I looked at it, and it was Father's Day, and I was so thrilled because God has given me a message to bring to the church on Father's Day. And I want to start out by saying that I am so thankful and blessed for the father that I had growing up. He was just the most loving, kind. He put himself out for us. He took time to spend it with us. No matter what we as kids were involved in, he was always there. Now, I can remember growing up, he taught me some of the things that I love to do so much, and I know some of you sitting here today can associate with that. He taught me how to hunt and how to fish and how to run a boat and how to, you know, he taught me really what the profession that I'm in today. He taught me the meat business. He spent time, and he was just a joy for me to be around. I can never, ever remember a time when Dad said, "Hey, we're going to go and do this. Or maybe we're going to go over to Raystown on Saturday and we're going to go fishing." I never remember a time that I thought, "Boy, I don't want to do that. I really would rather do something else." It was always something that we looked forward to that Dad was going to have us involved in. Now, I'm not going to stand up here and say that he was the perfect dad, because the perfect dad, the perfect father, is the only father, our God, our Lord, the Lord Jesus Christ, his son. We have a perfect father in God. But you know, one of the worst days of my life was the day that I went to the hospital. Dad had a major coronary episode, and he was only 47 years old. And I went to the hospital, and he was laying there basically on what was his deathbed. And he said to me, "You know, Dave, the only thing that means anything right now is the life I've lived for the Lord." He said there's nothing else. Because he could see, I honestly think as he was laying there, he could see that his end was near. And that soon he would be standing before the Lord and in his presence. And that only what he had done in his lifetime as time spent with the Lord and in his service, that was the only thing that mattered at that time. And he told me that, and it was life-changing. It was life-changing because up until that point, I was like the boy in the story that I'm going to share with you today. I was like the boy. I was the wayward son. I was doing what I wanted to do. Mom and Dad raised me to honor the Lord and to make sure I got to Sunday school and church and to make sure I, worshiped God and prayed. But I had thrown that all to the wind, and I had gone out and I thought, you know, myself, I'm gonna do what I want to do. I you know, what do they know? Yeah, I'm gonna do what I want to do. And I had started to live my life for the world instead of living my life for the Lord. And when Dad said that to me on his deathbed, I thought back, you know, he only had 47 years. I don't know how many years the Lord's going to give me, but I better wake up. I better start serving the Lord. I better start making sure that when I stand in His presence, He can say to me, "Well done, you good and faithful servant." It was a life-changing thing. I would not be here standing today in front of you preaching the word if it wasn't for my dad's death. So even though that was one of the most horrible days in my life, God meant it for the good. God used that to draw me and my younger sister back to Him and to faithfully purpose in our hearts from that time forward to live for the Lord, to share Christ with people that we came in contact with, to minister in any way that we could in the church. That was life-changing. You know, a funny story, I told my wife yesterday, I didn't have a note written down for this sermon because it meant so much to me. And I'm just going to share today my heart, okay? And I'm going to share from God's word, but I'm going to share my heart. But I can remember some times when I was a freshman in college, Dad came by. Those of you that have been to college, at the end of the semester, you have finals, okay? And you have to take your final exams. I can remember Dad coming down to Williamsburg, Virginia, is where I was going to school, and he stayed in the dorm with me. he came and he stayed in the dorm, and he gave me, you know, the time that I needed to study and so forth. But we went and we palled around with my college buddies, and he was just part of the gang, you know. Now, who would do that? You know, how many dads would do that? Just go your kids in college. You, Ethan, when you're going to school this fall, how about if Eric showed up and he stayed in your? I mean, really, it was just a fantastic experience. And that's how my dad was. My friends used to come over, and they wanted to come and stay and spend time at my house only because they wanted to see what Dad was going to do next. He was a comedian. He didn't speak a lot, but just the stuff that he did. He'd be sitting there, and we'd be sitting on our swing out on the front porch, and he'd be sitting there inside. We'd look in the window, and he'd be sitting there in his chair. He's reading the newspaper. All of a sudden, you'd see his teeth come out from underneath the newspaper. And we would just sit there and laugh at him. It was just comical. The memories I have, and I could go on and on about those things, but he was just a joy to be around. And I hope that in my life that I can just be half the dad that he was, because I just so much appreciated him. But to get back to that, you know, you only have a short time to serve the Lord. So whatever time you have, use it wisely to serve Him, because when your life is finished, and you don't know when that's going to be, it may be today. It may be 50 years from now. The Lord may come today. The Lord may come tomorrow. He may come years from now. But when you stand in His presence, what's He going to say to you? How are you going to feel when you're there? And that's the song this time I remembered that I had special music. and Rich evidently had also been signed up for special music. But anyway, I said to Rich, I said, this song actually fits right into my sermon today. So I'm going to sing a song called "Well Done." Well, it's quiet. What will it be like when my pain is gone and all the worries of this world just fade away? What will it be like when you call my name and that moment when I see you face to face? I'm waiting my whole life to hear you say, well done, my good and faithful one. Welcome to the place where you belong. Well done, my beloved child. You have run the race and now you're home. Welcome to the place where you belong. What will it be like when tears are washed away? Every broken thing will finally be made whole. What will it be like when I come into your glory and standing in the presence of a love so beautiful? I'm waiting my whole life for that day. And I will live my life to hear you say, well done, my good and faithful one. Welcome to the place where you belong. Well done, my beloved child. You have run the race and now you're home. Welcome to the place where you belong. What will it be like when I hear that sound? All of heaven's angels crying out, singing, holy, holy, holy are you, Lord. Singing, holy, holy, holy are you, Lord. Singing, holy, holy, holy are you, Lord. Waiting my whole life for that day. Until then, I'll live to hear you say, well done, my good and faithful one. Welcome to the place where you belong. Well done, my beloved child. You have run the race and now you're home. Welcome to the place where you belong. Welcome.
You know, being a father is a special privilege. It's an awesome responsibility. And I know many of you sitting here can think back to your dad and think what a special relationship you had with him. And I know there's others that may think back and think, well, my dad wasn't in the picture. But you know, you don't be dismayed
You know, the Lord Jesus came from the Father above to die on the cross for your sins. And whosoever will call upon him will be saved, and you'll be a child of the Father. The Bible says in John chapter 1 that he came into his own, but his own received him not. But as many as did receive him, to them gave he the power to become the children of God. You can be today a child of God, even to those that called, that believe on his name. So if you trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as your own personal Savior today, you have a personal relationship with the Son, and you have free access to the Father through the Son. He is your Heavenly Father. He is a Father that's perfect, a Father that will never leave you nor forsake you, a Father that will give you lavishly everything that you could possibly ever dream of. And I'm not talking about physical things, although he blesses us with many things. I mean, you look at it, we in this country, the United States, we have about anything you can possibly think. We have houses to live in, cars to drive, we have food to eat, we have it all. And God has richly blessed us with those things. But when you call upon him as your heavenly Father and you become a child of God, you experience the spiritual blessings that we can't even dream about how awesome, how wonderful they are. You know, Dad was always proud of me. He always came to everything. It didn't matter if we were... played football in college, and it didn't matter where we were at. I would come off the sidelines at the end of the game, and there he was. You know, he showed up. He was proud of me. I saw something this week. Randy, you had to be so proud. Dawn, Lydia, you had to be so proud of Noah as he stood there and took the oath of promise. The oath to be a Marine, to serve his country, to die for his country, to obey the President of the United States, to obey his leaders, those that had rule over him. That had to be a proud moment. And you know, I believe that we have the opportunity in our lifetime to do one of two things. We can either serve the Lord so that he is, and I know the Lord doesn't have pride, but he can be happy and he can be pleased with how we are serving him, or we can do our own thing. I'm going to turn this morning to, in your Bibles, turn to Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15. You know, I'm going to use the example throughout the sermon today, but think of a funny story that growing up, the boys, we like to go fishing, and every year we go on a trip up to Ontario, and Pastor Roy, when he used to go up with us, and we used to laugh because he would fall off the boat and get soaked, and he was entertaining. He really was. But we used to go out. We'd go out in the mornings, early in the mornings. We'd get up and we'd go fishing, and we would have a little contest. Okay, it was a little friendly contest, and we would see who was going to catch the most fish during that outing. And so we kept score. And you know, if you caught a fish, you caught a. It had to be a bass, it had to be a pike or a walleye or something that was good. That counted as one fish, okay? If you caught a bluegill or something small, You got negative one. You lost your one that you caught. Okay, so we would keep track, and my brother-in-law Carl and Mark and Ben and I can remember even my stepfather, who I was blessed to have for 20 years, Ben Woodring. He would be out there with us, and we'd fish. One morning we went out and Ben Woodring, he says, "Hey, let's just have a fun morning out here. We'll fish, we'll catch. We won't even keep track of what we're catching. We'll just fish and we'll have a great time." And that's okay, that's fine with me. Well, we fished the whole morning and we come back in the end of the morning and we were pulling into the dock and that was fun. Nobody kept score. And Mark turns over to me, he says, "You know what?" He says, "I'm glad we didn't keep score, but if we were, I have 9. so he was keeping score in his head anyway. All right, let's get down to business. Luke chapter 15, starting at verse 11. This is Jesus talking to his disciples. He's teaching them and he's using parables. Parables are simple stories that tell or teach a spiritual truth, okay? And he had told a story about a lost sheep, and then he told them the story about a lost coin. And now he says here in verse 11, he says, "A certain man had 2 sons. And the younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me.' So he divided to them his livelihood. Not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, journeyed to a far country, and there wasted his possessions with prodigal living. But when he had spent all, there arose a severe famine in the land. And he began to be in want, and he went and joined himself to a citizen in that country. And he sent him into his fields to feed the pigs. And he would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the pigs ate. And no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, 'How many of my father's hired servants have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and before you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants.' And he arose and came to his father, but he was still a great way off. When he was still a great way off, his father saw him, and he had compassion. And he ran and fell on his neck, and he kissed him. And he said, and the son said to him, 'Father, I've sinned against heaven and in your sight, and I'm no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Bring out the best robe, put on him, and put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet, and bring the fatted calf here and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and he is found.' And they began to be merry. Now his older son was in the field, and he also came and drew near to the house, and he heard the music and the dancing, and he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said to him, 'Your brother has come home, and because he has received him with safe and sound, your father has killed the fatted calf.' But he was angry and would not go in. Therefore his father came out and pleaded with him. So he answered his father and said to him, 'Lo, these many years I've been serving you. I never transgressed your commandment at any time, and yet you never gave me a young goat that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this son of yours came, who has devoured your livelihood with harlots, you killed the fatted calf for him.' And the father said to him, 'Son, you are always with me, and all that I have is yours. It was a right that we should make merry and be glad, for your brother was dead and is alive again. He was lost, and now he's found.'" You know, being a father is an awesome responsibility.
Being a son is an awesome responsibility. Question that I would have to start out with is, are you a child of God today? Have you received the Lord Jesus as your Savior? Have you called upon Him? Have you believed that He shed His blood on the cross for your sins? Have you called out to Him and received Him, as the Bible says, and believed on Him and had a life-changing relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you a son today? Is God your Father? We're going to look at three aspects of being a father. I already shared what my experience was growing up with my father. And we can all fit ourselves into, most of us here today can fit ourselves into being a father physically today. But then we want to look at how this story relates to our Father who's in heaven, God, our Father. Because it says that whoever receives the Lord Jesus Christ is not born of flesh. It says, to those who believe in His name and were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but God. If you know Christ as your Savior today, you were born into the family of God. You are a child of the King. You are a child of God. He is your Father. So this story is not only showing it's a simple story, but it's telling a spiritual lesson about how God looks upon His children. And if you're sitting here today as a child of God, you can relate to how this is. All right, so, are you a child of God? He said he had two sons. The younger said to him, to his father, "Father, give me my portion of goods that fall to me." He was the younger. You know what he said there? He's pretty much saying, "Dad, I wish you were dead. I want what comes to me while you were dead." You ever have a child say, "Oh boy, I wish you were dead. I wish you weren't even my dad. I wish you wouldn't have even been my father. I hate you." This is pretty much what the boy's saying. "I can't stand you. I want what belongs to me, and I'm out of here." Give me what's mine. Well, really, what was the younger's portion of his father's goods was about a third of his belongings. The rest of it went to the older son. The rest of it went, the other two-thirds. So we see here in the story, he divided to them. Notice, to them. He gave the younger son the third that belonged to him, but he gave the older son at the same time his two-thirds that belonged to them. He divided to them his livelihood. You know, did we realize how much God has given to us? Do we realize how blessed we are as children of the King? Turn with me, just keep your fingers there because we're going to go back to that, but turn with me to Ephesians chapter 1 for a minute. Ephesians chapter 1. This morning, I want to just point out, this is just some of the things that God has given us as His children, okay, as believers in Christ. It says in verse 3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as He chose us in Him." He chose you. He chose you to, before the foundation of the world. He knew that you were going to be His child. That we should be holy and without blame. He made you perfect in His sight by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. He made you holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestined us to the adoption as sons. He's adopted us into His family. He's given us the same privilege
that he gave to his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. It says in Corinthians that we are heirs of God, joint heirs with the Lord Jesus Christ. We are joint heirs with Christ. What better position could we have as a believer than to be a joint heir with the very God that saved us, the Lord Jesus Christ? And look at this. He says, according to his good pleasure, to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise and glory of his grace. How important it is for his grace. We wouldn't be here without his grace. We wouldn't be Christians without his grace. We wouldn't be saved without grace, because we didn't deserve to be anything. We didn't deserve to be an ant on a landhill, let alone be a son of the Most High God. He has given us, by his grace, he made us accepted in the beloved, in his family. In him, we have redemption. what a blessing, redemption. We, through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. What if we didn't have the forgiveness of sins? This is a spiritual blessing from knowing God, from knowing his son, from knowing his grace. According to the riches of his grace, he made to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mystery of his will. Think about the day you got saved. Think about you were enlightened to what God, how much he loved you and how much he wanted you to come back to him. And he gave his very best, his only son, to die on the cross for your sins. Think about that. We have the forgiveness of sins. According to his riches of his grace, he made abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of time, that he might gather together one and all things in Christ, which are in heaven, which are on earth. In him we have obtained the inheritance. We have a wonderful, wonderful inheritance. I can't even imagine what that's going to be like, to be in the presence of God, to inherit. What did Jesus say? He said, I go to prepare, in my Father's house there's many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. You have a mansion prepared for you if you're a child of God this morning. He has given everything, all things to you. And think about it. The next time you're thinking, boy, I'm a Christian, but what has God really given to me? Do you ever get mad at God and say, "What, God, what have you given to me?" Back to Luke chapter 15. So, not too many days after, the younger son gathered everything he had and journeyed to a far country. There wasted his possessions with prodigal living. How far away is a far country? Not very far. Sometimes you don't measure distance in miles. He hadn't just gone to a far country. He had gone far away from God. He had gone far away from his Father's will. The spiritual lesson we can learn from this is that we don't have to be hundreds of miles away. How far away are you today, Micah, from your physical dad? A long way, right? He's the whole way out in California, and Micah's right here. He's a long way. But spiritually, we can be together if we are living our lives for the Lord. And you see, this young man says he went to a far country. Now let me ask you this. Was he still his father's son even though he was in a far country? Absolutely. You know, some of you young folks are getting ready to go to college and you're going to be away. You're going to be far away. Are you still your dad's child when you're in a far country? You are. You are still his son. And you know what? I'm going to use an illustration that I've learned from being a father. I have a son, and most of you know, and some of you that are new here might not know this, but I have a son that is a heroin addict. He was a heroin addict even when he was at home. He was far away even though he was right in our house. You don't have to be far, you don't have to be far away distantly to be far away spiritually, is the point I'm trying to make. And when he left, and when he went on that path, we fell on our knees and cried out to God, God, please help, help my son. He's my son. I don't want him to be messed up in this filth of the world and all this addiction. Please, please bring him back. And I believe that's what this father was experiencing when his son left. He said, Dad, Father, please, God, bring him back. Help him to turn around. Help him to repent. Help him to come back to you. He's my son, even though he's miles away. And he said that he went, he wasted his money on prodigal living, careless living. Prodigal means spendthrift. He just blew his money. Anybody ever waste money? Waste time, waste things. You know, anytime, you know, we waste time. We waste things. So, you know, a lot of times we think, boy, if I could just hit the lottery, I would be set for life. No, you wouldn't. No, you wouldn't. I don't care all the millions of dollars you could pile up. I don't care if you filled this church building with $100 bills and it belonged to you. You wouldn't be as rich as you are knowing the Lord Jesus Christ is your Savior. You will not. Money will not make you happy. Money will not solve your problems. Just read about it. All you have to do is read about some of these people that have won the lottery. It was miserable. They spent it on things. People were constantly bothering them for money. It was the beginning of a horrible situation in their life. So if you think that, like this boy, he had all, you know, he thought he had it made. Dad just gave me a third of everything he had. Now I'm going out and I'm spending it on everything. Well, pretty soon he realized that he didn't have anything left. He had spent it all. Now he was faced with, what am I going to do? There's a famine in the land. What am I going to do? And so he went and he hired himself out to a man that owned some pigs. Now you think this is a Jewish young man here, I'm sure. What do the Jews think about swine, pigs? They're a unclean animal, aren't they? We've been studying Leviticus about that. It was unclean. And he went, he dipped to the lowest spot of his life, and he went down and he fed these pigs, and he said, oh, I'm so hungry, I'm going to eat some of the pig food. Now, have you ever been around pigs? And I have been around a lot of them in my life. But if you've ever been around pigs, they'll eat out of anything. You throw corn and all the manure that's laying around in the stall, those pigs will go over there and eat it. And this is where this young man found himself. He's eating with the pigs. He's in a horrible situation. He could have had all that his father had to offer, like his older brother did. But he chose to go. He ended up in this horrible situation. So he said to himself, you know what? My father's hired servants do better than this. They have food to eat and more to spare. And we talked about that. He says, I'm going to go back and I'm going to confess to my dad that I sinned against him and I've sinned against heaven and in his sight. And I'm going to say, please let me be just like one of your servants, one of your hired servants. And there's an important thing about that. The hired servants were the servants that just got hired off the street to pick a harvest or something like that. They could be fired at any time. They had no privileges in the house. They were just servants, hired servants. That's where he lowered himself. He said, just let me be one of your hired servants. And so the dad, so he packed up his stuff and he headed back to home. And when he started to approach the house where his father lived, his dad saw him coming, and I can just picture it. His dad is waiting for his son to come home, and he's looking, and he knew that his son sooner or later will come to his senses and he'll come home. And he's looking out the window and he sees his son, and he runs out as hard as he could run, as fast as he could possibly run. That wouldn't be very fast for me right now, but he could run. Maybe with those Hokas I could run a little faster, Rob. But anyway, he ran out and he wrapped his arms around his son and he kissed him. And he said he was so happy to see his son. His son had made it home. He had repented. He had turned back. You know, when repentance is when you're going this way, you turn around and you go this way. You go from where you were and go back to where you know you need to be. And this is what this boy did. And he started to confess to his dad. He said, listen, I've sinned against heaven and against you, and I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Please make me like one of your servants. And it was like his dad had ear protection in, earplugs. He didn't hear that. Didn't even hear it. He knew what his boy's attitude was. He knew that he had repented from his sin. He knew that he had come back to walk with him and to live with him. And so he said, go, bring me a pair of sandals. Sandals were something that none of the servants wore. They belonged to the son. They belonged to the household. The servants didn't wear sandals. He said, bring him a robe. He honored him, brought him a robe to wear. He said, and put a ring on his finger. The ring was a symbol that people of authority in the house used to grant their approval, like on a document. Some of you have had documents signed by a justice of the peace, and what do? They put a seal on that document to prove that they witnessed this signing. And this was the same thing that the ring did on the son's finger. He honored him. He said it's like he didn't even hear his boys, you know, saying. He brought him back into the position that was rightly his before he left. He made him a son. Now, he said, get the fatted calf. We're going to have a party. And so they got the calf. They brought it. They started making merry. And the older son came along. What'd he say? He stayed outside. He said to one of the servants, he said, what's going on? He said, well, your brother has returned. Now your dad's throwing him a big party, because he's so glad your brother came. And the older brother was mad. The older brother had been in the presence of his father from the time the younger son left. He had received 2/3 of his father's belongings. He had received all the blessings that his father poured out on him. He had received and taken and enjoyed the fellowship with the dad and living in his house. You know, how thankful are we when a child of God has gone astray and then comes back and repents? We should be throwing a party. We should be rejoicing because of the life that was once over here and now is back here. We should be rejoicing over somebody who has repented and returned. But a lot of times we think, oh boy, yeah, he was out with the harlots. He was wasting your money. He was wasting. Now he's back. Let's remember that when somebody goes astray, our goal as believers ought to be to try to bring that person back. Not to condemn them for what they've done, but to bring them back and to put the ring on their finger and to give them the robe to wear. Put sandals on their feet. Celebrate the fact that they were once astray, but now they've come back. He said, "You, son, you're always with me, and all that I have is yours." Are we thankful for all that we have in the Lord? So who do you relate to in this story this morning? Are you the, do you relate to the loving, giving father? Are you the wayward, prodigal son? Or are you the angry brother? I think we can all fit in there somewhere. Maybe we can fit into all of them. You know, I think back through my life, I could probably put myself in each one of those positions. But I'm thankful for a God that will take us back, that will restore the rights that we have as a son, as a child of his. I'm sure there's many times that God looked down from, saw me and said, "Dave, what are you doing? Why are you doing that? Why are you thinking that? Why?" Repent. Come back. Enjoy the riches that God has to pour out on each one of you. Restore your fellowship with the Father. Let's have a word of prayer. Our gracious God and Father, we thank you this morning for this story in the Bible. It's not only a story, Father, but it's a wonderful teaching of how much you love us, how you gave us your very best. And Father, how so often we forget about that, do things the way we want to do them instead of the way that you've instructed us to do them. I pray, Father, that you would help us to appreciate all that you've given to us as your child. Help us to live our lives that bring honor to your name and not disgrace. Help us, Father, to serve you in any way that we can, so that when we stand in your presence, Father, that one day soon we will hear those words, "Well done, you good and faithful servant. Enter into my house." Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Stand as we sing. That he
Let's go and live like a child of the King. Go and serve the Lord.